WCMA.radio.
Charleston, Charlie Bird, Lindsay along. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're broadcasting live until 6 o'clock today from the Westin Francis Marion Hotel. Corner of King and Calhoun Street in downtown Charleston. Plenty of parking next door in the city parking garage. We have free Cokes, free Sprites, free coffee. Get a slice absolutely free of that delicious WTMA 60th birthday cake. John, have you had any of that?
Not yet.
We're going to fix you up before you go. We're chatting with Jan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
John Orvin. His father was one of the original founders of WTMA back in 1939. And before we get into some more conversation with John, I would like to tell you that this portion of the WTMA Happy Birthday 60th Happy Birthday Party is brought to you by Chris Bernstein and Premier Events. Premier Planning for your special events. They put all of this together for us today. And Chris, thank you very much. They're bringing you this hour of the broadcast. Telephone lines are still open at 556-1250 if you're calling locally. Long distance, call us toll-free at 1-800-737-1250 or touch star 1250 on your cellular phone. That's a free call. Come on downtown Charleston. We'd love to have you between now and 6 o'clock. You can sit in, join the fun. And if you can't make it down, if you want to call in and share some of your memories of WTMA, they can go back as late as 1939, and we'd be happy to chat about it. John, your dad, I think, was one of the original founders, and Atlantic Coast Life Insurance Company was involved in that.
Y.W. Scarborough.
Y.W. Scarborough. He was affiliated with, Atlantic Coast Life Insurance Company.
Yep.
The studios were right across the street from where we are right now, at the corner of King and Calhoun, Ganey's Drugstore.
Right.
And if you're familiar with downtown Charleston, if you know where Jackson Opticians are, the studios originally were right above that. You started with 250 watts, went to 1,000 watts in when? The late 40s, mid to late 40s?
And they got in a fight with WSAB in Savannah because they wanted to switch to 630 and get the 5,000 watts on 630, which would have really given them coverage. But it got whipped by Savannah, and then they went to the 5,000 watts on 1250.
Now, when did you say that the FM came into the TLA FM?
It didn't come in until about the early 50s because Armstrong, who was the inventor of FM, was pushing it at that time, but it never did get off the ground.
Let me ask you something. You go back to 1939, and you've pretty well seen it all as far as radio. What's the big difference between radio in 39 and radio of today?
Well, it was more formalized back during that time, and somewhat respect. There was the announcers were somewhat stereotyped in the type that they had to have a particular melodious voice, a voice that would project.
Those pear-shaped oval tones.
Absolutely, those pear-shaped oval tones.
A typical broadcast day on WTMA in 1939, 1940s, what would that be?
Well, a typical day would go on the air, as we said, with the Star Spangled Banner and the usual greetings of the Good Morning Show. They'd get the press releases, the latest press releases, and you know they had the old tickle machine that popped it out, Associated Press machine.
Right.
It sounded like a hammer and an anvil.
Actually, it sounded like you actually had a newsroom.
Yeah. That was the sound that they always introduced news with in the background.
What about, originally did WTMA have like any network programming?
Oh, yes. They had quite a bit of network programming.
Now, were soap operas big in 39-40?
Yes. They were very, very popular during that time.
I was looking at some of the memorabilia. They have a big scrapbook if you'd like to come down to the Francis Marion Hotel today and look at it. One of my favorite shows, I used to, as a kid, sit in front of this big console radio with the big speakers and the honeycomb coils inside, to the Jack Benny Show.
Oh, yes. There's some of the early comedians. Jack Haley was another one.
And now you were affiliated with what, CBS originally?
We were supposed to go on the air with CBS, but the competition with WCFC, they circumvented us somehow and snatched it away, so we grabbed TMA for NBC.
That still happens today in some broadcast circles, where one broadcast entity will snatch the programming away from another broadcast.
Well, since we were a new boy on the block, you know, we didn't have
clout. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So what do you remember from the 1940s as far as what were some of the big soap operas on the air back then?
One Man's Family.
I remember that. Do you remember who starred in that? I remember Robert Young was in the TV series of that.
Yeah. I don't remember who the individual was during that time.
Or was that Father Knows Best?
father knows best was
Robert Young.
That's right. But I can't remember now who had these, but that particular one that I'm talking about, One Man's Family, that was probably the most popular one.
You know, one of the things that I really miss in radio today is the radio drama. For a while, CBS, I guess, in the late 70s, early 80s, tried to bring back the CBS Mystery Theater.
Yeah.
But radio is so much more exciting when you get into drama and mystery. John Orvin, his father, was one of the founding fathers of WTMA back in 1939. They had a lot of mystery shows, but they also had a lot of drama. When radio was first put on the air, I guess, with the Communications Act, and I'm not sure if the year 1934, somewhere in that time frame,
yeah.
They had these grandiose ideas about radio informing the public and bringing the arts to the masses. Do you think the communications, radio and TV, the mass media has done a good job in actually educating the public or bringing the arts to them?
Well, I'm sure they've educated them. I'm not sure for the vast, but they have definitely educated them and made a lot of things available to people that probably would have never been exposed otherwise.
Now, where was the first transmitting facility? Where was your transmitter located originally?
Out on 10th Avenue. The building still sits in the middle of the mud.
Now, that must be, it used to be the WQSN.
Yeah, well, before that, it was WTMA, because that's where they put up their first tower.
That was the first over...
They had a self-supporting tower that sat on four legs there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look now, the recent ones have only used a single guy-wired... And
that's on 10th Avenue. That'd be over near Hampton Park.
Yeah.
Right next to...
Just north of Hampton Park.
Right. And it's right next to a little tidal creek that
yep.
floods. And we used to refer to that when I worked at WQSN as Hobo Creek.
Yeah, well, we called it Devil's Creek. We go back a bit further than
well,
that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, either one of them would yep. be an appropriate description of that creek there.
Yeah.
Because the when some people would come to work at the radio station and would have a flood tide, we used to tell one guy there that when the tide came in, we had pontoons that would come up and engage to the station. And we caught him, John, one day outside
okay,
the
man.
Building
okay.
at time of high tide, trying to see the pontoons come up out of the marsh and engage to hold it up.
Charlie, you remind me of a friend of mine that went up to the Niagara Falls and sucked in a bunch of tourists. It was on a convention about they had to shut the falls off that night at 1 o'clock because they had to repair some of the bottom of the falls. And you'd be surprised how many idiots were out at 1 o'clock in the morning looking.
What about who are some of the stellar personalities that when you think of Charleston radio and in particular WTMA, some of the personalities that come to your mind?
Phil Sutterfield.
Phil Sutterfield. Now, give us a little history on Phil.
Well, Phil, of course, worked for TMA and he did other things for WCSC and he did the Kentucky Derby for many years. He'd go up there. He was the voice of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, you know, Phil, I guess from there, made his sojourn over to Channel 2.
Yep.
And he was one of those guys who had, I guess, a photographic mind.
Total recall.
He could read a piece of news copy
yep.
and then sit down at a desk and tell you the news. And that was his forte. That's what...
True ad libber.
Absolutely. Other people than Phil Sutterfield. He started at TMA. Was that in the 30s, 40s, or when?
That was in the early 40s.
Early 40s?
Yeah.
And who else were some of the big early
Charlie Long, you know, turned out to be the WCSC TV program director and whatnot.
I remember the name.
He was a man on the street.
Uh-huh.
And the two of them used to buck heads down in front of Gloria Theater, see who got the crowd first.
All right, now we've got those. Who else do we have in there?
Well, I'm trying to think now. We had Walter Spate, who wound up being a manager for TME. He also was one of these pearly voices that you've heard. And Walter went on later to WMAK, and I was a part owner of WMAK.
Now, what about some of the programming, local programming? Do you have, like, talent shows?
Yes, it did. They had what they call an amateur hour. It was on every Saturday morning. It was open pretty well to any local.
Now, where did they show up for that on Saturday morning? Out in front of the drugstore?
Yeah. No, in the studio.
All right. Now, the studio is above the drugstore.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
you just
right.
go up Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Did you have to audition?
Yes, you did ahead of time because they would only select a certain number, and they had to eliminate somebody.
And that was back in the days when we had 15-minute blocks of programming,
yes.
30-minute
yeah.
blocks of programming. And
commercials at the front end and middle.
That's right. And how long would the talent show last? 15 minutes, 30 minutes?
No, it was usually an hour long in segments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't find too much of that in radio. No. That's one of the big differences of today. Yeah. Come on down to the Westin Francis Marion Hotel at the corner of King and Calhoun Street in downtown Charleston. It's the 60th birthday party of WTMA. Have free Cokes, free Sprite, free coffee. Get a piece of the WTMA birthday cake. Has some neat replica radios that we'll be giving away. All you have to do is come down and register. Some neat displays of equipment from years gone by. And we have a nice little scrapbook over there. So, come on down. There's a parking next door in the city parking garage. And we'd be happy to press the flesh, meet, and greet you and talk with you about some of your memories from News Talk 1250 WTMA. Going to have guest Boob Nash is here, and he's going to be sitting in throughout the afternoon. Uncle Booby, hi there, fella.
I am.
You certainly are. I'd heard, but I wasn't going to say anything. He'll be along with us. He's going to be here right now. I don't open my big mouth, and now he's going to open his
you big banana.
You're the big banana.
No, you are. Am I on? Is it? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Unfortunately, it's on, Boo.
Okay. I always wanted to ask you, now that I have you here for this interview,
thank
why do
you
they call
much.
You Bird?
Have you seen my legs?
No, and I don't want to.
Well, that's why they call me Bird.
Not before I have a piece of cake, anyway.
That actually started at WTMA. Can you imagine? Back, I guess, 1960.
Everything started at TMA.
Well, that's
you wonder what CSC was doing from 1930 to 1939.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
We were doing it all.
Nothing has changed since then, either.
But it started back, you know how you used to say, this guy's a bird if you were cut up, and one of those old state expressions. He's a bird. So they decided to have a contest, draw the Charlie Bird. Dolan Motors, I guess it was the Charleston Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Right, uh-huh.
They sponsored that contest. All right. We're going to have to take a small pause for the cause. You know,
well, you have to. I'm going to keep talking, I'm just going to keep talking.
You just keep talking and walk right out of the door. We'll be back. We'll be back with more talk and conversation shortly on News Talk 1250 WTMA.